you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Turn with me to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. As you're finding Galatians, let me welcome you today, not into the worship center of Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, the building, but into my home office. I'm having to quarantine with my family for the next few days, 2 weeks, 14 days. And that's because when we were away as a family on vacation, when we came back, we got word that one of the people that we were in contact with, actually after we had left, came down and tested positive for COVID-19. And so we all feel perfectly fine. We've had no symptoms to date, and yet we feel obligated and responsible to do the right thing, which is to stay at home for 14 days. So today's message and next Sunday's message will be planned to be from my home office. So anyway, thank you for bearing with us as we move forward. And before we jump into our message today, would you just take a moment and pray with me and just ask the Lord to focus our hearts and our minds together during these moments. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word today, to gather for worship today. Thank you for technology and how we can utilize it to gather online and to worship you and to find community in these unique days and during these unique ways. So, Lord, we love you. We trust you. We pray for those who are continuing to deal with sickness, and Lord, those who remain at home, Lord, thank you that we can connect in this way. And I pray that you would bring healing and hope and a word to us today as we open your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. On May the 25th, 2020, a fuse was lit that lasted 8 minutes and 46 seconds until George Floyd breathed his last breath under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer. And as you are well aware of by now, the brutal and inhumane and horrific scene was all captured on video that went viral, became a spark that exploded into not only national but also global outrage. And the subjects of systemic racism and Black Lives Mattering and injustices that have been part of a broken system have been protested and had the lights shone on them with great intensity, unlike anything that I have ever witnessed in my 47 years of life. However, as I have invested much time praying and reading and listening and just trying to understand how the Lord would lead me to in turn give leadership to our church family in this season, I was made aware of something that a man named Eugene Peterson said in an interview before he died a couple of years ago that deeply impacted me. Eugene Peterson, he's one of my heroes. He was a pastor, an incredible author, just had a brilliant mind for biblical languages, ancient biblical languages, and his background in this discipline of ancient biblical languages was part of what helped him to eventually translate the Bible into more modern vernacular that's known as the Message. This is my copy of the Message Bible, the New Testament that he translated years ago. And I love reading this Message version of the Bible. I've used it for years and years as part of my devotional Bible reading. And back in 2017, Eugene Peterson was being interviewed by a man named Kerry Newhoff, another church leader whom I greatly respect. And in the interview with him, Eugene Peterson said that the Message Bible translation had actually first started in response to the race riots that were happening in Baltimore back in the 1960s. And so Eugene Peterson at that time was a brand new church planter. He was a pastor that was just starting out in that area of the world and of our nation up in Maryland. And here's what he said. He said, during the race riots in Baltimore, people were worried about what was happening in the city. I was worried about what was happening in people. And so he started a Bible study where he began to translate the message of Galatians into modern English to impact the fearful and the defensive hearts of his suburban congregation. And when I learned that it was the race riots of the 1960s, something that happened six decades ago, that is what was the catalyst for what became one of the great devotional resources of my faith, of my daily walk with Jesus, the Message version of the Bible, well, I immediately went and I grabbed my copy and I read through the book of Galatians. And as I read and as I prayed and as I thought about how powerful those words were that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write somewhere around 50 AD, and then how God had used Eugene Peterson to put those original Greek words into a more modern English, man, it absolutely was resonating with me. And I thought, Lord, I think you want me to preach through the book of Galatians. And so I began to outline the book of Galatians from a preaching standpoint. And I started looking at the calendar and I began to realize that to preach through the book of Galatians like I would want to preach through it, it would actually take us through about the middle of November. And so I'm absolutely fine with a slow walk through the book of Galatians, especially when I kept thinking about what black leaders, what black people, some of my black friends were saying in those initial days after George Floyd's death and the nation's outcry. And one of the things I kept hearing was, so what are you going to do about actually helping to change this issue of racism and injustice over the long haul? And so for me, longer term change happens in me best when I begin to just saturate my mind in what God says through His Word. And so the idea of saturating my mind in a deep study inside the book of Galatians, that one of my heroes in the ministry, Eugene Peterson, that he said, man, that's the book that helped him help his church family and help lead his church family to rethink the way that they were thinking about the race riots, about the challenges back in the 1960s. Suddenly that whole idea became very compelling to me. Especially as I continue to pray and think about what I can do. And what I can do, because it is part of my calling, it's part of my responsibility as your pastor, is to consistently open up God's Word and try to help us understand what it meant then and what it says for our lives through preaching and teaching of God's Word today. And looking at what God's Word says today with the culture around us. And what I do believe that the Bible I believe it can't mean something different today that it didn't mean back then in its original context. And so through study, through prayer, through writing disciplines, I believe that the Lord helps us to understand principles, helps us to understand truths that we do need to know, that what is happening then is still true for what's happening in our society and in our lives today. And I also noticed that about the projected time that we're going to most likely be wrapping up our study of Galatians, it's probably going to be about the same time that we will have just gone to the polls as a nation in November. And that should be a quiet, a non-divisive season in our country, preparing to vote in who will be our next president in the United States for the next 4 years, right? Yeah, probably not so much. It's probably going to be a challenging, a divisive, a volatile season ahead. And so, man, as I just look at the landscape over the next 5 or 6 months, I see a lot of opportunity for our hearts, for our minds, for our lives to be shaped by God's Word through the book of Galatians and by God's Holy Spirit. And I just can't help but believe that if we will open ourselves up to what God wants to say to us, and if we will apply the truths that we see coming out of the pages of this part of the Bible to our lives, that we will continue to change and that we will become who God wants us to be in our homes and in our relationships, in our community, in our city, in our state, in our nation, in our world for such a time as this. And I really do believe that God wants to use our time saturating ourselves in the book of Galatians to help change the way that we think, to help change the way how we love our neighbor, how we understand what our identity as followers of Jesus really is, and how we understand and live what it is that we say that we believe. So we're going to take a closer look at freedom, which is a primary theme all throughout the book of Galatians. We're going to explore what it means when we have freedom in Christ, and what Paul says when he says these words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to it from the Message. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand and never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. I'm calling this series Freedom, a study in Galatians. And what we will see as we walk through this letter that Paul wrote to churches that he helped start in an area of the world at that time known as Galatia, was that in Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. I love that from Galatians 3, verse 28 from the Message. Among us, you are all equal. And as we consider what our freedom in Christ has to do with equality, and how that is supposed to affect our relationships with not only Jesus, but also our neighbors and whatever our neighbors may look like and are like, there is a freedom that we are meant to experience and responsible to advocate for if we're going to be part of Jesus' prayer coming true regarding His kingdom coming and His will being done right here on earth as it is in heaven. So let's just ask the question, why did Paul write this letter in the first place? What was going on, and where is it situated in the timeline of the Bible? Well, let's answer some of those questions. Paul wrote this letter about 2 decades after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. And the church at the time was still in its infancy stage at this time. And the Apostle Paul, he had planted these little churches in this area known as Galatia, which is located around modern day Turkey. So if you were to go back and you were to read back through Acts chapter 13 and 14, you would see how Paul went to these places on a missionary journey, and he started these little churches in places like Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And Paul, he had to stay on the move because there was this group of religious people who wanted Paul dead for the things that he was saying about Jesus dying on the cross for all people, not just for Jewish people. And the good news of the gospel is that when it comes to Jesus, literally every single person is valuable because every single person is created in the image of God, according to Genesis chapter 1, 27. And Jesus just said, hey, let me prove how much you matter by laying my life down on a cross for your life. Jesus was willing to lay down his life so that everybody else would have the opportunity to be able to experience true freedom from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And so Paul just gives his life to making sure that everybody hears this message of hope and truth that's found in Jesus. And Paul, he keeps sharing it, and he keeps starting these new works, these new little churches. And he shares the gospel everywhere he goes. But the problem was, these angry, controlling religious people who thought, well, yes, what Jesus did on the cross was indeed essential, but it just was not quite enough for salvation. And so they keep spreading this fake news. Some have called these people Judaizers. Others have called them agitators. Say that word with me, agitators. They called them agitators because that's just what they did. They agitated people to the point that they confused everybody as to what it really took to be saved. And we've seen people in the news, maybe even in our own lives over the past month or so, that maybe we would describe them as agitators, people who have been spreading confusion and trouble and chaos and trying to keep control and to conform rather than to converse and to try to bring peace to different situations. You see, agitators, they've been around since the beginning of time, and we certainly see their work in Galatians that Paul writes to actually refute. These agitators, they were saying in effect that believing in Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, yes, it is essential, it's just not enough. You also need to do certain things in a certain way to really be saved. You have to conform, these agitators were saying. You have to conform to a system to be true and to be real and to be genuine. You have to both believe in Jesus, and they were saying, you really need to change and become Jewish. And the way that you would change and become Jewish if you weren't born Jewish is to do all of the Jewish rituals, keep all of the Jewish customs and laws, and specifically you would need to be circumcised if you were a male as a symbol of your dedication. Now, if you were to read over in Acts chapter 15, you might want to jot that down. Acts 15. That whole question about what it truly meant to be saved, what it truly meant to be made right with holy God as a true follower of Jesus, all that was settled back in Acts 15. It was settled at a special meeting called the Jerusalem Council back in Acts 15. In Acts 15, it starts off with identifying this same agitating issue that caused Paul to write Galatians, and then concludes, no, it's not about a surgical procedure on the outside. It's not about obeying a bunch of Jewish rules. Salvation is about what Jesus did on the cross in our place to pay the price for our sin, and people having their hearts cleaned on the inside by the grace of Jesus, and not one thing more. What Jesus did is sufficient, and it was enough. Look at this with me from Acts chapter 15 as a backdrop of why Paul wrote Galatians. In Acts 15, verses 1 and then verses 11, look what it says here. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's verse 1. Look at verse 11. But we believe, that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will, as the non-Jews or the Gentiles will. So you see, this issue, it's been settled in a very real sense. In a very real sense, what the conclusion of the Jerusalem Council was when it came to what needed to be done for a person to be saved was this: Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Would you just say that with me? Jesus plus anything equals nothing. If you have to add anything to what Jesus did on the cross, then what you have is nothing. You have a false gospel. You've got a different gospel. You have no true gospel at all. In fact, the word gospel literally means good news. And the good news of the gospel is that when Jesus laid down His perfect life on the cross to forgive all sin of all people of all time, He said, "It is finished." It is finished. He didn't say, "Hey guys, I'm finished with my part. Tag, you're it. Your turn. You're up. Now go try real hard. It's your turn to go try to do more. It's your turn to try to be real good. Time to obey all of the rules. And then maybe you will qualify for heaven." No, not at all. "It is finished" means Jesus plus anything equals nothing. However, "it is finished" also means this: that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Would you say that with me? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You see, what Jesus did on your behalf is all that you ever need to have and everything that you will ever need to be right in God's eyes. And man, that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That means every single thing that you have is a gift from your Father in heaven. It means you can't earn any of His goodness. You just receive it from His gracious hand. And that is called grace. And friends, grace means you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't go to church enough to try and get it or do enough good things to deserve it or conform to some system to try to keep it once you obtain it. No. Grace is what you get when you and I put all of our lives into the nail-scarred hands of Jesus and believe that what He did on the cross is enough for you and me and the whole world to be forgiven, to be saved, and to have new life in Christ. I mean, if you think you need to do the religious dance to get the hug from God, then you have missed what the cross is all about, because Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so that's what Paul originally teaches to these little churches that he started in the region of Galatia. And then he moves on from that region. And not long after he moves on, that's when these agitators show up. And they start telling people in the churches of Galatia, no, friends, Paul had it wrong. Yes, he had it right when he said you need to believe in Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, but he missed something. You see, you also need to become Jewish for God to really love you and for you to be saved. And Paul gets word of this. And then Paul, he starts penning this letter to the churches at Galatia. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 with me. This is what we're going to walk through. Let's just walk through the first 9 verses of Galatians chapter 1. I want to point out a couple of things, and then we're going to wrap our time up. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we'll go through verse 9. We'll kind of stop along the way, and I'll point some things out. So in verse 1 of Galatians 1, it says this, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead and all the brothers who are with me. So right here, Paul is making sure that everybody knows that what he says is not fake news. He's saying, hey guys, I'm a true apostle. I'm a true source. I'm one called by Jesus personally. No, Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples. However, according to what Jesus did in Paul's life over in Acts chapter 9, when Paul encountered the risen Jesus in a unique and in a life-altering way, Paul, he went from being a hunter, he went from being an agitator of the Christians to an advocate, a truth teller, a gospel proclaimer. And when Jesus encounters your life, friends, you can change. All of you, from head to toe. And friends, Jesus changed Paul's life. And Paul, in that moment, he becomes a true follower of Jesus, an apostle of Jesus. There's no fake news coming from Paul. And so we continue in verse 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, know this. Grace comes before peace. Did you notice that? Grace comes before peace. Grace is the means of salvation, and peace is the byproduct. So if you want to see peace happen, then you and I need to be ready to give a lot of grace first, just like Jesus. Look again in verse 3. grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver, underline that word, to deliver us from the present evil age, underline that word, age, to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stop right there at the end of verse 5. That word deliver in the Greek is the word exareho. Exareho, E-X-A-I-R-E-O, exareho. It can also be translated rescue. Paul says that when Jesus gave himself up on the cross and he died in our place, he delivered us. He rescued us, not only from our sins and the price that came with it, which is death, but it says that he also rescued us from this present evil age. That word for age in the original language is the word aeon. Aeon, A-I-O-N, aeon. And it doesn't necessarily refer to a specific period of time, but rather to a passing transitory system. And in this case, the evil satanic world system that's dominated the world since the fall and will continue to be present until the Lord Jesus' return. And yet, check this out, and yet, when we receive grace from Jesus and peace from Jesus, then all of a sudden you and I have something to offer a hurting and a broken world, as broken as it may be, as broken as this age may be, this passing transitory system may be. And we have not only the opportunity, but also the responsibility to help see it transition and change into a system that is in right alignment with the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? Right here on earth as it is in heaven, modeled by Jesus, lived out by his followers. Followers who've been rescued, followers who have been delivered by Jesus through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Friends, remember what Jesus did on the cross finished the salvation work for everybody. Remember, Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing, it equals everything. Would you say that with me? Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But these agitators, they were saying something else. They were perpetuating this broken system of the age about what it took to be a true follower of God that was made right and in right standing with God. And Paul, he couldn't believe what he was hearing. And as soon as he heard about it, he spoke up. He called it out immediately in this letter to the Galatians. Look back in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul continued. He's writing, I am astonished that you, churches of Galatia, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Underline that phrase, a different gospel. Not that there is one, verse 7, not that there is a different gospel, but there are some who trouble you. Underline that word, trouble, in verse 7. There are some who trouble you. Trouble, literally that word means to shake you up, to agitated, and to a violent explosion. Have you felt that way in recent days? Troubled, shaken up, to where you just feel like you want to explode? There are some who trouble you and who want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let her be accursed. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You see, my Mormon friends, my Jehovah's Witness friends, they seem to have a very difficult time with this passage because Paul calls out a different gospel, whether a gospel preached by people or revealed by angels. There's no different gospels. There is one true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, friends, I'm not going to sit by. I'm not going to let this continue. What these agitators, these troublers are saying is a totally different gospel. In fact, it's no gospel at all, because there's only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what Jesus did on the cross to take care of all our sin. And Paul's saying, I can't believe how fast you left the truth that I preached to you, and you started buying into what is absolutely contrary to the power and the all-sufficiency and efficacy of the cross. Paul's saying, friends, if you go that way, you're giving up your freedom in Christ, and you are enslaved all over again, enslaved to the rules and the rituals and a transitory passing system all over again. Remember, friends, Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing, it equals everything. And Paul says, if I or if an angel or if anybody else tells you anything different, let that voice be utterly condemned. Friends, Paul immediately gets involved. Paul speaks up. Paul tells the truth, and he calls out the lies that the agitators were feeding the people, that just kept posting to all the people. But friends, it was all about Jesus. It was about the price that he paid to rescue us from our sin and this broken and temporary system, and instead to enjoy and to advocate for the true freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm really looking forward to our walk through Galatians. And I believe that the Lord's going to use it to shape our minds and to shape our hearts and to shape our lives and to help us to become who He wants us to be and to do what He wants us to do right in the middle of an age that is in the process of changing from a broken system into a whole kingdom system on earth as it is in heaven, just as Jesus prayed for and taught us to pray and to live for today. And friends, if you have already put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus as a true follower of His, man, that is awesome. Share that good news with others. If you've not yet done that, or you're not sure if you've ever put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and you'd like to do that right now, I invite you right where you are to pray a very simple but powerful prayer with me. I call it an ABC prayer. A means to admit, B means to believe, C means to call. And to admit means to admit, Jesus, I admit you're the Savior, I'm the sinner. And Jesus, I believe that what you did on the cross can save me fully, sufficiently. And if I call on your name based on what the Scripture says, I'll be saved. So if you'd like to pray that prayer with me right where you are, either out loud or whispering it or in your heart and mind to the Lord, however you want to do it, I encourage and invite you to pray this little ABC prayer with me. Would you pray with me now? You can just say these words, pray these words to Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you for truth. Jesus, I admit I'm the sinner, Jesus. I'm the sinner. Jesus, I admit you're the Savior. I'm the sinner. You're the Savior. Jesus, I believe in you. And I believe what you did on the cross forgives me of my sin. Jesus, right now, I call on your name. Would you deliver me? Would you rescue me? Would you make me new? Help me to become a true follower of yours. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Man, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'm so proud of you. The scripture says the angels in heaven are throwing a party in your honor right now. And if you prayed that prayer, would you let me know by just emailing me at david@arapahoeroad.org? I would love to follow up with you and connect with you and help you take some next steps in your faith. I want to remind you that as we continue to gather online, we've broadened our online platform. Not only are we continuing with Facebook Live options, you can also check us out on our YouTube page as well as on our Vimeo page. And you can get to those as well through our website or just watch it straight off of our website at arapahoeroad.org if that's more convenient for you. Several options to continue engaging online during these days. And I wanted to also give an update from our elders as it pertains to our roadmap and trying to move forward in the coming days and when we will be gathering again in person as an in-person option. And so I wanted to let you know that you can circle the date of July the 12th. July the 12th will be our target date for our first opportunity to come back together for in-person worship. It'll be family-style worship. What that means is all ages are welcome to come into our worship center. If you feel ready to do that, there will not be any childcare that day. There will not be any life groups that are meeting in person on that day. Our life groups will continue to meet online. We will also continue to broadcast our service online. But on July the 12th, that will be the first opportunity that we will look to worship together in person for those who are ready. If you're not quite ready, that's fine. We'll continue to broadcast off of those different platforms, and we hope that you'll be a part of that. We'll look to target resuming our in-person life group options and childcare options hopefully during August. We'll continue to assess our situation and our landscape in the rest of the month of July, and we'll bring those updates as we have more information. But right now you can pin down July the 12th at 10:45 a.m. as our first opportunity for those who are ready to come back into the building at Arapahoe Road and worship together. We'll continue online as well, and we'll do that for the foreseeable future. I wanted to also encourage you, if you haven't already given as a part of your worship today, you can do that at our secure website. You can go to arapahoeroad.org, click on the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, and that'll take you to our secure giving portal. And just thank you so much for those who continue to be faithful in giving to the Lord through the church. You can also continue to mail in your tithes and offerings if you prefer to do that. There's people that are checking our mailboxes regularly. Just thank you for your faithfulness. If you've never stepped out and given, today's a great day to do that. I encourage you to do that. The scripture talks about how God loves a cheerful giver. And so, man, there's something good. There's something right when you know you're following and doing what the Lord asks and desires us to do, to continue to trust Him and be more and more like Him. Thanks so much for being a part of our worship today. I want to close our time by giving you a blessing. So if you'll hold your hands out, I'd love to give you a blessing as we conclude our time. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. Know that He deeply loves you. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Grace always comes before peace. May you receive Jesus' grace. May you give grace to others. And may peace soon follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We're Arapahoe Road, we're in community and on mission, and that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.